From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
Thor's taint.
Meanopalouse. I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we are going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average, today, tonight, is Monday, May the 4th, 2009, a little after 11 p.m.
And this is show 038.
All right.
Hello, Storm.
Hi. How are you, Paul?
Okay, we're coming off a very long podcast from last week, where we crawled up our own collective asses.
We did, though. Tonight we're getting a much later jump than usual. I mean, yep. We'll let it go where it goes.
Yeah.
But we're not going to force one out, as
absolutely.
It were. Shall we run down the big board?
Let us.
All right. There are 160 minions in the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions. Hurry up. You can still be one of the Disciples of Lore if you sign up now. On the Whedon Watch, ticking down on the seismic scale at about a 0.8. Not much happening. McCartney Watch, we're going almost into basis points. We're going to call it 0.05. on the watch it scale.
Basically a lorry driving by about 4 blocks away.
Yeah, or a house fly landing on your desk might register that. So
awesome.
That's all right. You have to have the valleys before you have the high spots.
That's right.
Poochie Corner, in which we discuss people discussing us. Nice little bit of ground chatter out there.
Yeah.
A couple things we could talk about or not. I'll just mention them briefly. One, we put a poll up after last week's podcast asking about what we should name our poutinery. Our
American poutinery.
American poutinery. So if we brought poutine, the French gravy fries, cheese curd fries,
Canadian.
Down to the States, what would we call it? The overwhelming majority said monkey fries.
What a surprise. There was a poll on the internet that involved a monkey, and the monkey category won.
And that's the thing. I don't know if to trust that result or not. Like, I think it's a great name and it's funny, but for mass appeal, I don't know.
Yeah, I think the data are skewed.
But there was pretty much a three-way tie after that between the Canada fries, Gravy Davies, and one of the other ones.
Yeah.
Mother Poochie was the video for Here Come the Dinosaurs, and the song was released as promised.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say it performed about as I was expecting, but less than I had hoped.
Yeah, it wasn't met with great cheers, and you were not borne aloft metaphorically or literally on the internet's back.
But again, I think if we reviewed the tape, that, you know, it was very much a did it and felt good about it, but didn't particularly think that the world was going to charge our door on that one.
Yeah, I don't think we thought this was going to turn into another Charlie Bit My Finger Again level viral hit or anything.
No, maybe a
but
year
you know,
from
you
now.
Never, you, well, A, you can never plan those things.
Yep.
And B, you never know when it might catch on.
But you can probably tell by now, of course, I'm a little disappointed.
Course you are. I completely understand.
Even though, you know, there are some great comments and plenty of people have watched it.
Yeah, this is not to say that it was met poorly at all.
No, not at all. Just I wanted it to be, you know, the Titanic.
Right.
And not meaning that it was going to, you know, sink, or I thought that not even God could sink the video. merely, you know, more like the box office Titanic.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Instead, you got stuck with, I'm trying to think of a good filmic metaphor.
A middling movie.
Like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Well, you didn't have to see it. I was thinking more along the lines of box office than...
I know. That's sort of, you know, what that kind of says volumes. One good thing came out of it. Actually, a lot of good came out of it. I certainly learned Flash animation a lot better through it.
Mm-hmm.
And Rock production. Learned a few things.
Yeah, up a few ticks on the Rock production learning curve.
But most of all, I'm glad that one of our fans out there started a Facebook fan club page for yes. my cat who appears in the video, which I think is just spectacular.
I think that's perfect. God knows he wasn't going to start it himself because he's not that kind of cat.
But it makes it, well, he would be. And it makes me a little sad. Like, you know, what if he or some other cat did become extraordinarily famous?
Mm-hmm.
Just that a cat would be entirely unaware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's tragic or if that's just projecting, you know, human emotion onto a cat.
I don't know. Do you think Morris the cat was aware of his fame?
Well, there was more than one Morris the cat.
Well, any given Morris.
No, I don't. Well,
that sounds like the title of something.
Any given Morris. Well,
some shitty Mitch albums book or miniseries or movie of the week. But nonetheless,
I don't know. I think that. If Morris was tended well, which he or she probably was, that mm-hmm. you know, they probably felt about as good as a cat would feel. But as far as knowing that they were beloved by millions who you know, saw the cat on TV, I don't think so. I don't think so. Okay, well,
yes.
Boy, that's a
onto the fresh then.
Yeah, let's get to the fresh. I have a few things written down.
As always.
And I'll run them by you. We can talk about them or not.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Caddo loves her budgie. All right.
A few Canadians got happy there.
Yeah, and you're going to get happier soon. Pizza by any other name. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Spin Control and Dunk a Cat.
Well, we're going to stay with cat and go with Dunk a Cat.
Okay, this will probably be a quickie.
Okay.
My wife and I were talking. I make my notes shortly before we do the podcast. And she was saying that I guess I had left the toilet seat up, not the seat part, but the lid.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying, you know, if I would mind closing it. And I said, not at all. I usually do. I just must have, you know, forgotten to for whatever reason. I asked her why. And she said that she was afraid that the cats would fall into the toilet. And, you know, my brain.
Your wife is an empathetic lady.
She is the most empathetic woman I have ever met. But my brain still kind of spun around a couple of times processing that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, after staring blankly at her for a few moments.
Yes.
I replied, I have never heard of a cat falling into a toilet. And that's it right there. If, you know, Paul, have you ever heard of that? Now,
I have not. Although I must say I did. Growing up, we had several cats. At least one of them, when one left the lid of the toilet seat up, occasionally would sort of spread his paws across. He'd sort of stand on the seat, spread his paws across, and lean down and lick out of the toilet bowl.
That's reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like, you know, cats just walking along the floor, just happens yeah. to take a little leap, lands
some
in the bowl.
Some bizarre Rube Goldberg Final Destination is series right. of disastrous events leads him to plop into the toilet.
I'm drowning.
I would say this, even were a cat to fall into the toilet, both of your cats are both able-bodied and
right.
large.
Right.
And given a cat's natural tendency to want
get
to get as far
water.
Away from water as
yeah.
possible, would probably just come shooting right back out, slightly more damp and much more embarrassed.
Well, I did posit that to Gillian. She replied, well, you know, you can drown in 2 inches of water. So... You know, if you scale that, a cat would probably drown in as little as, you know, 8
like
centimeters.
7 millimeters, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, if anyone out there listening and knows of a cat who has drowned in a toilet bowl, I guess it would be unpleasant to fall in as well. Let us know. And I don't mean, like, if you tried to train your cat to poop in the toilet? Like, you see those kits, I guess they...
Yeah, yeah.
I guess it was in the back of some magazine or every magazine.
Yeah, it would be covered on like the news every once in a while.
Right, or Real People.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Your,
like the PM magazine or Evening magazine that was so popular in the major markets in...
Yeah, that's right, with the two reasonable people standing by the lake.
That's right.
They were always by a lake, even if your town didn't have a lake.
No, they would import a lake or they would green screen in a lake.
Which was fantastic. All right,
So there we go. Dunk a cat. Let us know if you've heard tales of cat dunking.
Yes, I want to calm my wife's fears. She worries about so many things, and
this really is one thing she should not have to worry about.
Yeah,
and we should calm her fears so that she does not have to worry about it.
If it brings just one restful night where her head just hits the pillow and she can just fall asleep knowing that her cats are not going to drown in the toilets.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, I'm not the kind of person who says, well, just don't worry about that because you know what? Your fears are your fears. Like, I hate bees.
Oh, yeah.
My rational mind knows that. A bee is most likely not going to sting me unless I'm being aggressive towards it or, you know, make stingy inviting noises. And B, even if it were to sting me, it would just kind of hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'd get over it and move on with my life. But, you know, it's not about rational fear. It's about phobias or irrational fears. And to tell someone not to be afraid of it or to not worry about it is to be an asshole.
I agree. But still, I'd like to bring the evidence.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
10-minute mark was about 50 seconds ago.
Sure. Let us go then to what were the other topics?
Mrs. Cattle Loves Her Budgie, Pizza by Any Other Name, and Spin Control.
Let's do Spin Control.
That's another quickie.
Okay.
So these were the throwaway ones, but that's all right. We're going there. I've noticed, I've seen them in recent years, but I'm noticing them more now that the real estate market is down.
Mm-hmm.
You're cruising along and you see a guy or several guys and gals standing on the corner spinning signs, the sign spinners.
That's certainly been a thing. There was a whole, not that they invented it by any means, but there was a whole Flight of the Conchords episode. About how Brett, one of the two members of the band, became a sign spinner.
Let's leave this. I'm not caught up on my Concords, and I don't want to go over old territory.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it's not like they dwelt on it. It's just, you know, it was certainly the existence of the sign spinners and the sign holders is well documented.
Yes. Well, I guess that it doesn't short circuit it to say, you know, I think about these things when I see them, and. These aren't my rational thoughts, but it seems like you can never read what they're doing. Like, you can never read the sign, because a good spinner will be able to draw your attention with it and have good coordination and do really cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But people who can do cool stuff with a sign are more inclined to keep it in motion.
Yep.
I don't know if Jermaine fell into that trap or not.
It was Brett, but no, he did not.
Ah, okay.
He was really more of a sign holder than a spinner, but I believe he occasionally spun.
Okay, well, I think that would be more effective. And I wonder where these people come from, aside from being, you know, from New Zealand, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But is it related to the decline in flare bars? You know, you have people with a very specific skill set.
Right. Maybe when there's only so many people that can work at the Hawaiian dinner theater extravaganza at Disney World, spinning fire, and then what are they going to do with their spinning skills?
Exactly, or the automation of the pizza making process. You no longer need nearly as many people tossing pies.
This is true.
Let's move on.
Okay,
this is getting boring.
Sure. I will go to another topic just because I must draw attention to it because I am required to do so every 2 hours.
Yes.
By my own constitution, which is to mention, as I have mentioned on the Twitters, I installed Pergo flooring in my family room this past week. Now, I say this partly because I'm very proud of myself, because I thought I did a good job, and it was, you know, a real job. It wasn't like, buy a new waste paper basket, or, you know, change the water filter in the refrigerator. It took me, a week and a half, although technically it took me about 3 months and a week and a half. Because I had promised my wife, one of my Christmas presents, quote unquote, to my wife was a box that had a piece of paper in it that said, I'm giving you a brand new floor for this family room.
Well, but the actual action part, like if you were a contractor,
yeah, if you take out the dreading time and the procrastination,
is the best part of any project.
It took me about a week's worth of work to prepare the floor, because the floor was, you know, tearing up the carpet, and there was old crappy tile underneath that I had to fill in spots and level things off. That was probably about a week's worth of work that I managed to stretch into four.
Did you find anything cool, like, you know, tarot cards that some mysterious person had left?
No, I wish there I could have found some sort of bizarre mystery. All I found was
a blood
some crumbling mastic and what is most likely asbestos. And
wow, that's kind of exciting.
Yeah, in its own way. But I now know more about commercial tile adhesives than I ever thought I would, because that's what I had to use to replace the tiles, because they were old. You know, they're thicker. I couldn't just use the self-sticking vinyl tiles, because these are the old, thicker, sort of, you know, not quite plastic, not quite vinyl, I don't know what they are, tiles.
Wait, so you put a tile floor down, and then you put the...
Well, I didn't put down a tile floor, but what happened was I pulled up the old carpet, and what was on the floor, it's a concrete subfloor, I'm really trying to not be boring, it was a concrete subfloor. On top of that was these old 9x9 commercial-grade tiles. However...
Call them silly tiles.
That's, silly tiles,
that's
yes.
That's more fun.
A bunch of them, especially around the edges of the room, were either crumbling or completely missing.
Okay.
And my choice was to either rip up all the old tiles, and given the fact
silly
that
tiles.
They were... rip up all the silly tiles, and given the fact that when they were installed, they most likely, the adhesive contains asbestos.
At least that was the guess. Gummy goo.
Gummy goo. The silly tiles were stuck on with gummy goo, the kind that makes your lingy lungs hurt.
Uh-huh.
So to rip that up would have been a job that I would have had to hire somebody to do for a lot of money. And the other option, they said, was to just cover it up with other flooring. So what I did was I cut up new tiles to go with the silly tiles to fill in the holes. And then the spots that I couldn't fit a tile, I would just cover up with this patching compound. And there was a section of the floor that was uneven. I had to even that out, blah, 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 blah. Big pain in my ass.
But I
and
saw
then,
them.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, just it was very interesting to me. Again, going back to Twitter, which we've talked about a number of times, seeing that unfold. And
yes.
I'm also a gummy goo, silly tile at home kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I don't know, maybe there's a future for someone to be the next home improvement type over Twitter.
Maybe.
And it could be you.
Where, I doubt it. I mention all this, and then, you know, I put in the floor, which actually comparatively was labor-intensive but easier, because it was, you know, just sort of the same job over and over of snapping in these tiles. I mean, these pergo, it's like fake wood flooring.
Dub-dub slats.
Dub-dub slats. The reason I bring this all up is because I would like to ask our listeners if there are any, especially the men out there, are like me. When it comes down to it, I can be quite handy.
Mm-hmm.
I do not enjoy the task of being handy, and I tend to dread it and procrastinate it, as I mentioned earlier. But then, once I have done it, I do a thorough job, and I'm generally proud of it.
Yeah.
But I'm the kind of guy that has to, you know, when I'm done, I have to, you know, proclaim to the world, look, see what I did. And it was perfect timing because, well, I mean, it was also the reason I had to have the floor done by this weekend was it was my daughter's first communion party on Sunday. And so we had a whole bunch of people over to our house, and I got to say a good 15, 20 times, take a look at this floor I just put in.
Sure.
Which was incredibly satisfying. And I'm wondering if there's other guys out there like me who are into the home improvement game really for the affirmation You know what I mean? The praise.
I entirely know what you mean. I would say that 99.99, you know, 9 billion D percent of men are like that. I sort of am, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like, all right, I didn't have the best hygiene when I was a teenager.
Uh-huh.
It was like hell to get me to take a shower.
Yeah.
Which really
withholds comment.
Yeah, well, okay. Wise guy. We're talking...
Burgundy.
We're talking days
call them,
on end.
Call them silly showers.
Sure, I'll call it a silly shower. Anyway, but then there's a nice feeling about being clean, all right?
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, and certainly the sense of, you know, the I built this kind of feeling. Like we just did a garden, and I won't go into the details of it. But same thing, you know, all the bitching and moaning. I find that if it's well planned ahead of time, I don't mind doing the work. It's only when it's sort of this start, stop, oh, you know, we forgot to get the gobbygoo.
Yeah.
And you run to the store and then the whole day has gone by and you've done like nothing.
Yep.
So, but yeah, I'd be interested to hear what's your proudest home improvement moment?
Yeah, or if not home improvement, then, you know, any sort of, you know, labor-intensive task. Yeah. And no, putting together the Lego Death Star or Star Destroyer does not count.
Unless you had to do it, like, as an assignment or you hate Star Wars.
Yeah,
but if you're listening to this...
If you work for Legoland, that counts. Otherwise, we don't want to hear about it.
Right, or even a work task, maybe that's not part of the job description that, you know, you were asked to do or that somebody had to do, and you did it, and you kicked ass, and you got your praise.
Right. I mean, that's my point is, you know, satisfaction in a job well done, bullshit. I'm in it for the hurrahs and the huzzahs.
All right, huzzahs for gobbledygoo.
That's not going to be the name of it.
No.
It should be the
not.
Name of this podcast. Let's see. We're at the roughly 22-minute mark.
I'm almost afraid to go into the prime rib topic here, you know?
Yeah. It could send us over the half-hour mark again.
The other one might not be as long.
Okay, let's give it a shot.
Okay, and this other one will save the other one. You know
what
I'm talking about.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, we've
I got my eye on the clock here.
We've
got my eye on the sparrow.
Do that. We've only lightly discussed each of these, like earlier today, for maybe 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So don't feel like we're cheating you out there by, like, planning or doing research or anything like that.
Right.
The topic is pizza by any other name.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that, well, I'll get there. I did Twitter yesterday that my favorite pizza joint was in the news. And actually, a number of my local joints have been in the national news. Favorite burger joint was listed as one of the top 50 burgers in the country.
Right. Awesome.
Ray's Hell Burger, if you're in Arlington, Virginia, only open for lunch. You won't regret it. The other one is a place that Gillian and I have been going for years. And we used to go about once a week. A little less now. You just sort of fall out of habit. But we still have considered it to be our favorite pizza parlor.
Mm-hmm.
So it was something of a surprise yesterday when I hear that three prominent Republicans had a little like town hall talking point rally at my pizza parlor.
Yes.
And I don't want to get political here.
No. I mean, it's worth noting that you are generally of a liberalish bent.
Yeah, I would say over the past, you know, 6 years or so, I'd be considered pretty liberal, though by sort of long arc standards, I'm more moderate.
Mm-hmm.
And like I identify with, you know, a pizza parlor owner who has probably built what they had from their hard work and their smarts and all the rest. And they deserve to be rewarded for, you know, what they've produced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I strongly believe in that. But the whole, what is it? The gays, the guns, and the, what's the other thing? God. That whole platform, you know, when they call it that sort of very ideological purity idea,
mm-hmm.
it rubs me the wrong way, and not just because it's on the right. Anytime there's that sort of very pat, this is what is absolutely firmly correct.
Right.
It just grates against me.
Ideological extremism on either side is off-putting.
Or any side, because to me it's the same thing in the end, which is a means to power.
Right.
Anyway, so there it was on TV, my pizza parlor, inhabited by these people, like, developing their talking points or projecting them.
Mm-hmm.
And my first thought was, oh, God, I can't eat there ever again. You know?
Knee-jerk reaction.
And then I stepped back and thought, you know, how would I feel, you know, if, let's just put a name out there, Rachel Maddow. She's not a politician, but she's very clearly on the left.
Right.
A fundraiser for
remote broadcast or something.
A broadcast in support or something, like in support of, let's say, gay marriage at a barbecue joint in Alabama. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And I met a fan, let's say, who was from that town and said, I'm never eating at that barbecue joint again because, you know, they had Rachel Maddow there and the owner was there shaking hands with her. And, you know, I just made my stomach turn.
Right.
And I would say, you know, that's just small-minded.
Yep.
That's just small-minded.
Ah, but then you turned that waggy finger right back around at yourself, didn't you?
I did turn it back around at myself, and I don't know, it doesn't change the pizza, and it's not like, you know, these particular politicians were, you know, it wasn't like David Duke or anything like that,
you know,
where they're supporting really hateful stuff, so...
Just supporting stuff that you are personally, philosophically... not necessarily diametrically opposed to, but certainly stuff that you do not endorse.
Exactly. And of course you don't know, you know, what the whole circumstance is, but you'd have to be pretty sure that they would have chosen their ground very carefully, you know.
So if I get you, the question is then leading to, you know, at what point is a personal boycott comfortable is not the right word. You know, at what point are you okay with somebody personally boycotting someplace or an institution?
And is that, you know, a reason to do that? You
right.
know, what's changed about the place itself other than knowing that some portion of the money that I'm giving them is probably going to support some things that I really don't agree with.
Yeah. And like that was in our discussion earlier today, my point and probably your point as well was, you know, it would be one thing if they were hosting the annual meeting of the Seal Clubbers of North America.
Right.
Or, exactly. You know, the kitten teasers and frighteners of Northern Virginia were having their weekly meetings there. You know, if it was some specific, absolutely wrong thing to endorse. I think that would be one issue, but just the fact that, you know, hey, I guess the owner of this place has different political views than me.
Right.
Then, you know.
In fact, I think that settles it. That settles it. What you've just said settles it. By continuing to visit that establishment about as I normally might,
mm-hmm.
I think I'm making the greatest American statement.
Yep.
Which is so lost anymore, which is, I may disagree with you philosophically, but I'm not going to demonize you.
Yep.
So,
and plus, beyond that, I would be willing to bet that certainly the majority, I know none of these numbers, so I'm literally pulling them out of my ass, but I would bet more than a small majority of small business owners tend towards the conservative.
Yeah.
So were you to boycott every place that endorsed conservative ideals, you'd never be able to eat out again. And were people to boycott on the other side, you know, strict conservatives would probably never be able to get their hair cut again or go to the theater.
The thing is, that I don't want to get into politics again. Not
right.
That we, but sort of there's different types of conservative, and like the conservative of an entrepreneur or a restaurant owner to me is different from a lot of the types of conservative that have been, you know, running the show on the right.
Right.
I think that's as far as I want to go. But
fair enough.
That settles it, and I feel good that, you know, maybe I need a little time, but that I will enjoy that pizza soon again.
Fair enough. Well, there we have it. We're almost at the half hour mark, or maybe we just passed it. I don't know. It's close. Let's do the show ending thing.
Yeah, here comes the music.
Show's coming up. Oh, we're in May. Hot damn. Dallas, Texas, next Wednesday the 13th at the Granada Theater with Jonathan Colton. On Thursday the 14th, we're at the Belly Up Tavern outside of San Diego. I can't remember the name of the town, but I'm just going to say San Diego. Then Sunday the 27th, we're at Largo in Los Angeles. On Thursday the 21st of May, we're at the Jukebox Comedy Club in Peoria, Illinois with Dan St. Paul. And then on Saturday the 23rd, we are in Galesburg, Illinois, also with Dan St. Paul. You can find all of our schedule on the website, paulandstorm.com.
You can also find out how to become a disciple of lore in the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions.
Yeah, I suppose that's all.
I think that's enough.
I think it's plenty.
Yeah.
You would still be Storm.
And you're Paul. And yeah. We've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. I like pie.
Go do things.
Señor Don Gato was a cat. On a high red roof, Don Gato sat. He went there to read a letter, where the reading light was better. 'Twas a love note for Don Gato. The note was from a lady cat who was fluffy white and nice and fat. There was not a sweeter kitty,
meow, meow, meow,
in the country or the city.
Meow, meow, meow.
And she said she'd wed Don Gato. Don Gato jumped so happily, he fell off the roof and broke his knee, broke his ribs and all his whiskers,
meow, meow, meow,
and his little solar plexus.
Meow, meow, meow.
Ay caramba, cried Don Gato. The doctors all came on the run just to see if something could be done. And they held a consultation,
meow, meow, meow,
about how to save their patient,
meow, meow, meow,
how to save Señor Don Gato. But in spite of everything they tried, poor Señor Don Gato up and died. And it wasn't very merry.
Meow, meow, meow.
Going to the cemetery. The ending of Don Gato. the funeral passed the market square, such a smell of fish was in the air. Though his burial was slated,
meow, meow, meow,
he became reanimated.
Meow, meow, meow.
He came back to life.